And that is the question of the morning. Mary, did you know? And here's another good question for you and I. Did you know? Did you know that Jesus, born, was the Son of God? Amen? Hey, you have your Bibles with you this morning. I want to invite you to turn with me in Galatians chapter 4, Galatians in the fourth chapter. As you find your place, also kind of multitask here, I want to make sure everyone has the Lord's Supper elements. If you need a element for the Lord's Supper, juice and bread, if you'll raise your hand, one of our guys in the back will be sure and make sure that you get that. Okay, got a couple over here to my right. Okay, you want it? Okay, good deal, good deal. So, over the last several weeks, through this Christmas season, we've been really kind of delving into Emmanuel, God with us. The angel came and talked to Mary and Joseph and said, you're going to have this child, he's going to be conceived of the Holy Spirit, and you'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So over these last few weeks, we've just kind of been really digging into that, trying to comprehend and take the magnitude of that name in and what that really means, that he's God, that he is a deity, that he is God come in the flesh, and that he's come to be with us, that he was also not only all God, but he was also all man, that he identified with us. He ate, he thirsted, he slept, he was tempted, he went through all the things that you and I do as a human being, and he did that to demonstrate to us how God expects us to live. He did it all perfectly, and then he died on the cross for our sins, to redeem us, right? And then that us, the fact that he came to dwell with us, not only just to dwell with us, but also even greater, to dwell in us. We talked about this last week. Our heart is like that stable where Christ is born into the heart, into the stable. And that he does a work of transformation to transform that stable into a sanctuary. Now, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? This is not the church. Okay, this building is not the church. The chairs, the windows, whatever's in this building, this is not the church. You and I are the church, right? Our bodies, as bodies of believers, we're the church, okay? We could still be the church. God forbid something was to happen to this property, to this building, to this place today. It burned down, it fall down, whatever it might be. People say, well, what are we going to do about church? We are the church, okay? We are the church. And so that's the great message of Emmanuel, God with us. Now, I want to just kind of wrap this up today, kind of like a gift, you know, wrap it up, put a bow on it, okay? And so something that you can take with you this morning. And so listen this morning as we look along in Scripture and as we give this thought. So when we think about Emmanuel, God with us, we think about Jesus Christ being God. Now listen to this. According to a Gallup poll, they were asked the question, did Jesus exist? And according to this, outside of a few atheists and agnostics who insist that Jesus was kind of a mythological figure, so to speak, the majority of Americans say 92% believe that Jesus, in fact, existed. Okay? That he is, in fact, a true being. All right? That's good. Right? Can you get an amen? It's good that we acknowledge that, yes, Jesus Christ did exist. Okay? So then they ask this question. Is Jesus divine? Is he God come in the flesh? And so it's kind of a little bit less. 83% of Americans describe themselves as Christians, but only about 56% of those who profess to be Christians still believe that Jesus Christ was in fact God. Think about that. Barely 6 in 10 Christians believe that Jesus Christ, in fact, was God. See, it's not enough that you just believe in Jesus, but you have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. It's important, not only that you believe in Christ, but it's what you believe about Christ. And so this morning, look with me here in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in the fourth verse. It says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So Paul states here emphatically that at an appointed time, just when God had determined that this was the right time, Jesus Christ was born. That He was born of a woman, and that He was born for the purpose of coming and redeeming those that would believe in Him so that we could be adopted as children of God. That's the good news. That's Emmanuel, God with us. Now think about this. If Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us, then all of the Bible is a lie. Everything we've read, everything we've studied, everything we've believed is a lie. If Jesus Christ, in fact, is not Emmanuel, God with us, then all of the Bible is a lie. Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, it was very first prophesied when Adam and Eve had sinned. And there in verse 15, God came and He confronted Adam and Eve. And in verse 15, He says that to the serpent, He says there would be enmity between you and the woman. You would bruise his heel, but he would crush your head. And so right there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we have the first prophecy that Christ was going to come to defeat the sin of the devil in the world, to give man a hope. And so the Bible, we know later, says that before the foundation of the world, God had set this plan in place, knowing that man was going to sin, knowing that Adam and Eve were going to mess up. He made a plan for redemption. Now later in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, it states there that this child would be born of the tribe of Judah. And so we see this prophecy here that he's going to be born of a particular tribe. Isaiah 7 and verse 14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." So we have that prophesied that God was going to send a son. We have prophesied that he's going to come through the tribe of Judah. We have prophesied that he's going to be born of a virgin. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5 talks about the fact that Jesus was going to be a descendant of King David. And in Micah chapter 5 verses 1 and 2 talks about the fact that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He says, "Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek." And then he goes on to say there in verse 2, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands, Judah, yet you shall be. Shall come forth from you the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth and from of old, from everlasting." We talked about this a little bit Wednesday night, about how Bethlehem's this little place, and yet Jesus Christ is born there. It's prophesied in the Bible. Hundreds, thousands of years before Christ was born, God gave all of these prophecies. We see again in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus himself says, "Now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" So Jesus himself declares, "I am the fulfillment of all of the prophecies of the Old Testaments." Here's an important verse over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews in the 6th chapter. Notice what he says beginning in verse 13. He says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is from them, an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, God makes an oath. And notice what it says, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So Paul writes here in Hebrews, he says, it is impossible for God to lie. And if God could lie, he still wouldn't lie. Okay? So there's two truths here that he bases this promise of. So friend, if Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us, then all of the Old Testament prophets are liars. Jesus Christ himself is a liar, and God himself is a liar. None of it's true. None of it's believable. Listen, if you have time to waste sometimes, and you want something to do, you can Google. You can Google this. This that makes it factual, right? You can go. Listen, there's on the internet. One article, the greatest lie ever told. And he talks about the fact of all of this being mythological and none of this being true. Listen, if all of this is a lie, you and I are wasting our time this morning. If this is not true, you and I are sitting here this morning like a bunch of bumbling idiots. We've been sold a bill of goods, and we might as well just leave, sell the property, go to the house, and never see each other again. If Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us, then all of this is a lie. Listen, R.C. Sproul says this. He wrote an article or a book called There's a Good Question. He says there are over 300 specific prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He said the very dimension of the sheer fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament should be enough to convince anyone that God has himself planted within the Scriptures an eternal consistency that bears witness that this is his word. Over 300 promises in the Old Testament that have all been fulfilled through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, it's been written by over 1,400 years, by numbers of scholars, and yet they all agree in one message. John Stark says this, understanding the Bible. He says, the Bible contains 16 books written over 1,500 years by 40 different writers, but it tells one big story of God's plan of salvation that culminated in Jesus Christ. He said, you can't even pass a secret around the room with 12 people and get the same message at the end of those 12 people. And yet we have over 40 writers, 1,500 years, all telling the same story of Christ Jesus and God fulfilling it all in his Son, Christ. And so, it's got to be true, right? Praise God, amen? Got to be true, right? Think about it. So, if Jesus is not God with us, all the promises of the Bible would be a lie. Secondly, if Jesus is not God with us, listen, friends, we're all without hope. We're all without hope. And where would we be today without hope? It would be as though we were living in those days between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We'd be living in those dark ages where God had gone silent. Listen, Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6 is the very last verse of the Old Testament. Notice what it says here. It says there in that verse, he says, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. The last word of the Old Testament is curse. The last sentence in all of the Old Testament is the fact that without Christ, we're all under the curse. What a dark place to be, right? If Jesus Christ is not God, Emmanuel, come with us, We're just like the children of Israel. 400 years, the children of Israel had not heard a word from God. Now, according to Josephus, the Jewish historian, at the close of the book of Malachi there, the nation of Israel is back again in the land of Palestine after the Babylonian captivity, but they're under the domination of great world power there, Persia and Media Persia, and they're under suppression there. They're experiencing political unrest. Anybody think anything about political unrest today? Remember Daniel's interpretation of the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had there in Daniel chapter 2? Talking about the statue of gold and how the arms of silver and the belly and the thighs and the bronze and all that. And it represented the kingdoms of the world, the rise and fall of Babylon. And these people are living in this political unrest. And they're desiring that a Messiah would come to deliver them from this political unrest. And God says, I'm not just here to deliver you from some political unrest. I'm here to deliver your soul and give you a peace that the world doesn't even know anything about. And there's people today that don't know or that don't believe that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, and they're living without hope. Political unrest is dominates their life. They sit in front of that idiot box and listen to those people giving the news every day, and they are depressed, and they are down, and they're living in that bondage. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, and we have a peace that the world doesn't know anything about. We don't have to listen to that junk. We don't have to buy into those lies, because this is not a lie. This is the truth. They were living in this spiritual unrest. There in Jerusalem, the temple had been restored, although it was much a smaller building than in the heyday of Solomon's day. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, it says this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Man, if this is a lie, we're without hope. Scientists tell us that a man can live about 40 days without food. And a man can only live about 3 or 4 days without water. And a man might be able to survive about 8 minutes without air. But he can't live 1 second without hope. Man, if Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us, we have no hope. We're walking in those days of darkness. We're still wanting. Listen to what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians in the second chapter. In verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "Therefore, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without hope," or without Christ, "being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Man, if you're without Christ, you are without hope. But for those of us who know Christ Jesus, we've met Christ Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, we have hope. But if He's not Emmanuel, if He's not God with us, then we're all without hope. Listen, I think sometimes today we have many who are living without hope because over 2,000 years now, Christ was buried and resurrected and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And He gave a promise that one day I'm coming back. And I think there's some folks today, some skeptics today, and they're thinking, you know what? If He was going to come back, surely He'd have come back by now, right? I've heard people say that if God doesn't come and do this or do that, then he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Listen, God doesn't owe anybody an apology. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And in the fullness of time, Christ will return. Peter writes in 2 Peter, he says, God is not slack concerning his promises, but he's full of mercy. Not that any would perish, but that we would all come to repentance. I thank God today that Jesus Christ has not come back yet, because the longer he waits to come back, the more time we have to tell others about Christ. That's what we're about. So we can't give up hope. But there are those who are living in this silence, in this darkness, without hope, because they don't know that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. And apart from that, we have no hope. Listen, hopelessness is rampant everywhere. And listen, when God is moving, man, it's for us to share the hope that we can only have in Christ Jesus. What God has done in history, God will do again in his time. Amen? But maybe worst of all, if Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us, not only is all of this a lie, not only are we without hope, but we've also not been redeemed. We're lost in our sins. We're eternally separated from God. If Christ Jesus is not Emmanuel, God with us. It says there in verse 5, he says that he's come in the fullness of time to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That was the whole promise of Jesus' coming. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 says, and she will bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us, then you have not been saved from your sins. You are still lost in your sins this morning. Romans 5 and verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength in due time, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Apart from Christ, we have no redemption. And if Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us, then we're still lost in our sins. I love how Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians. Notice in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul begins there in verse 12. He says, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. Yes, we who are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ Jesus, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. It's a lie. You're still in your sins. Then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Listen, if Jesus Christ is not God with us, if he's not Emmanuel, not only is all this a lie, not only are we without hope, but we've not been redeemed. But because he is God in the flesh, because he did come, because he did die on the cross, because he was buried, and because he did rise again, then you and I, of all people, have hope. Amen? Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him who are in Christ, who become for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And when you just walk through the scriptures, we won't have time to look at all of them this morning, but if you just walk through the scriptures, think about it. Jesus Christ redeems from slavery to sin there in Romans chapter 3. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? It's the fact that we have salvation through Christ. And Jesus Christ redeems us from the curse of the law in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ redeems us from empty religion in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Christ redeems us from the coming judgment in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. He redeems us from the power of Satan in Colossians 1 and verse 13. And Christ redeems us from death in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Listen, we cannot separate Christmas and Easter. If Jesus Christ is not Emmanuel, God with us at Christmas, then He's not our Redeemer on the cross and in the grave and resurrected. Listen, if Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and rose again, that'd be pretty powerful, right? But let me think about this. If He's still not the Son of God, it doesn't mean anything. Lazarus died, buried, and Christ brought him back 4 days later, right? He didn't redeem us from our sins because He wasn't God Emmanuel with us, or Emmanuel, God with us. You see, the significance of who He is puts the significance on what He did. Emmanuel, God with us. Truth and hope and redemption. In 2016, the Olympics were held in Rio de Janeiro, in Brazil. And if you watch that, you remember just about every time they came on the air, or as they were going off the air, they would show an aerial view of Rio de Janeiro there. And they always showed the Christ crucifix there. They would show this big statue of Christ the Redeemer. He's 98 feet tall. He's 92 feet wide. And the reason that statue was built there, it was motivated to build it, to oversee what had become such a godless society. And the design was that in this godless society, that one day somebody would look and see that statue and they would be reminded that there's a God who loves them and sent His Son to die on a cross. Fast forward to today, 2022. I want to tell you the good news today. God didn't send no statue. He sent His Son. Emmanuel, God with us, to show us that He loves us this much. Amen? Amen? That's the Emmanuel, God with us, that we celebrate this Christmas. That He came to redeem us from our sins. I'm going to ask you this morning if you would take your elements. And we'll first partake of the bread. Jesus ate with His disciples. They had a meal, and after that meal, He took some bread. He broke it. Then He took the fruit of the vine, and He drank it. And He said, "This bread is My body, which is broken for you. This fruit of this vine is My blood that's shed for you." And so Jesus Christ demonstrated to us. He gave the disciples a kind of a picture about what He was about to do. Today we continue to observe this time where we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine in remembrance of what Christ Jesus came to do. Listen, He is Emmanuel, God with us, so that you and I can be redeemed. He died a death that you and I deserve, so that you and I could have a life that we don't deserve. I'm going to ask Brother Timmy, if he would, to voice our prayer. Would you just give thanks to God this morning for his broken body?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for our many blessings you've bestowed upon us, Father. We ask that you bless this bread and bless this cup as we partake in this Lord's Supper. Father, we just continue to praise you and thank you for the many blessings you've given us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is the bread that comes down out of heaven. Not as Moses and your fathers ate in the wilderness and died. He who eats this bread will never die." Then Jesus took the cup, fruit of the vine. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." I'm going to ask Billy Bratcher, would you voice our prayer this morning? Would you give God thanks for his shed blood this morning?
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll forgive us, Lord, for all our many sins, Lord. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for going through the cross and shedding your blood for our sins, Lord. Because without that, we would never get to heaven and know you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done for us and everything you're going to do for us. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Paul writes in Hebrews, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Apart from the shedding of blood, all things are made perfect. Praise God this morning that Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, came to be with us. God's greatest desire is for you to know him like he knows you. God's great desire is for you to experience him in an intimate, personal love relationship. And that relationship doesn't start when we die and go to heaven. It starts right now in the here and now by trusting Christ as our Lord and Savior, by allowing him to come and dwell in us, to dwell among us, to live inside of us, to hang out with us, to have conversation with us. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we invite you to come this morning. Maybe this morning your church membership is somewhere else. And we'd love to have you come be a part of God's family right here at Trinity. We'd love for you to be able to come and grow in relationship with us as we all grow in our relationship with Christ. And so we simply invite you to come this morning. Maybe this morning you want to just come to the altar. The altars are open. Maybe this morning you want to just come and give God thanks for the indescribable gift that we have in Christ Jesus. Would you come this morning? As we stand, as we sing, Mike Lemus, would you come today? Come this morning. Amen and amen. listen, I praise God for you being here this morning. I pray that God will bless you richly this week. Listen, we'll be having our services Wednesday night, and then we have a special Christmas Eve service on Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock. And so that'll be a special time for families to get together. And so if you and your family would like to come and be a part of that service, we certainly would enjoy having you come and be a part of that. Couple of you got just a few days to kind of swing the pendulum from being from the bad list to the good list. So I pray you pull that off here in this last week of the year, okay? I understand it's going to be a little cold next week, so if you get cold, it's your own fault. They warned us, okay? So get ready. Hey, listen, again, but we're so delighted that you are here with us this morning. Those that are listening on the radio, those that have been watching online, thank you for being a part of our services this morning. I pray that God's spoken into your heart and into your life. Pray that you can celebrate this Christmas as never before. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Mike, let's sing this morning as we're dismissed.